do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 7th of October, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And I've got guests in studio. Let me say this. If you had student day, I'm not saying hooky, maybe mental health day, right? Maybe you taking a mental health day and you need somebody to help you run errands. I understand it. These things are getting stressful out there. But if you got your kids around you, keep the radio on. If you just walk out of the break room at school, walk back in the break room. And maybe if you have some Shakespeare classes going on, literature classes, turn the radio on. In that classroom, I kid, I know y'all don't have any radios installed in your classrooms. I beg the teacher in the lunch break if y'all could turn the radio on, because in studio right now, I have representatives from SIP. That's Shakespeare in Paradise, not our favorite pastime. Shakespeare in Paradise is a theater festival. It runs for 3 weeks every September through October. They've been running from 2009. And today, we have a very, very special guest in studio. Her name is Lisa Volpe. I've given you time to do a little research. When I was in boarding school in England, I was a science math stream, but I took every opportunity I could take to take part in the English arts literature electives. And there's something about being a Bahamian, right? It's like, you know that from the song Titanic and Shine? It's like, we just have this knack of being in the right place at the right time. And I went to go, and I went to see The Importance of Being Earnest. And Jermaine Greer was in it, right? And I had no idea. I mean, I know about the film. Thank you, Ori J. Sands. I knew about the play. And I'd seen the film of the play. And so this was, I thought this is a great opportunity. And what an opportunity it was, because if you know the play, you know there's this scene, right? And the scene is perfect for Bahamians to play. It's a scene where I think they are revealing that he was found or discovered in a handbag, right? And so the murmurings before, even before we got in, my fellow classmates, they know this line. And everybody is waiting for this line. And Jermaine Greer didn't say it. But we all knew it was, so it was like, I felt like I was at a special rendition of the play, right? Because she didn't say it. And I, a Bahamian, been in England for maybe 3 months or so, have no reason to be there. Even I knew, right? That this moment, it was an important, it was such a wonderful rendition. Anyway, after the play, I was outside, just walking down the road, looking at things, because I'm a Bahamian. We observant, we like to look at things. And I pick up my head, and I say, hold on. But that's Jermaine Greer standing outside the theater door smoking a cigarette. I said, this is a Bahamian moment. And I went right up to her, and I said, ma'am, I just want to introduce myself to you. I all the way from the Bahamas. Right? And we had this tiny little moment. Theater is fascinating. It opens up all kinds of doors, not just to new opportunities and experiences, you know, but to new ideas in your mind. New perspectives, new ways to see the world, to understand what's happening around you. And that's why, whether you know it or not, we have a vibrant theater culture here. See, it's not just New Providence and the Dundas, you know.
Nope.
You know people in Grand Bahama who play pokey? That's the theater capital of the Bahamas, man. Mm-hmm. And people like Gia Pierre, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Riddell and Rennell, my cousins, married to, the sister married to Parks, who passed away, unfortunately, LeVard.
Yeah.
And Manifest, the musician, gospel artist. I went to school with, we were in all of us in school, but Lincoln, his older brother, was in my class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, QC Comets, y'all stay tuned as well. So we got theater people in the studio today. We're going to have a conversation, not just about Shakespeare in Paradise, the festival, Short Tales, the 10-play segment, Sovope,
yes,
a bit about Shakespeare and the alchemy of gender and her experience in the theater world. Now, before we get there, you know, the newspaper never lets me down. Yesterday, in Mr. Nuri's show, I intimated that, you know, we already have freedom of movement here. I'm certain. I mean, I didn't have the proof in front of me on the table. I couldn't bring you any treaties or documents from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs at that time. But if you look at today's National Guardian, Bahamas, Philippines, finalized agreement on movement of labor. Anyway, I don't know why this administration, like prior administrations, has difficulty determining which information should be shared with the general public and which should not. Surely this is something that should have been shared with the general public before it was finalized. That's all. That's it. I mean, that's not it. Because in the for the government to clarify its immigration policy, last week with the prime minister said, we don't have an immigration crisis. And I keep telling you all we don't. We have an administrative crisis where government does not understand how to administer the immigration policy it seeks to operate. That's it. That's it. Anyway, this is a great segue because sometimes my government makes me think that they are the best theater company in the history of the world. Joining me in studio along with Lisa Volpe, I have Malin Seymour, Major
Ford.
QC Comet is actually her last name. And Dr. Nicolette Bethel. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Okay.
You did not say QC Comet.
Oh, I forget. Dr. Nicolette Bethel is QC Comet.
I know I predated Comets.
Oh, you were before. She was before.
I was before the Comets came along. The Comets must have come along when the auditorium came along.
That's when we were a giant star and then we were a comet.
We were, yes. Good.
Because we had to share the shine.
Yes,
give you all some of that energy.
We were a star, yeah.
Break it down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I got a house full of comets today. And before the end of the show, I'm going to ask Mrs. Ford to share some information and how QC Comets can stay in touch with everything going on at Queens College. Okay, good morning. I don't know where to start, but let's start here. Let's talk about the schedule for Shakespeare in Paradise so people can understand how much time they have left to purchase tickets.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, Erin. Thank you for having us on. I want to say that this is our third week. Shakespeare in Paradise takes place over 3 weeks. We run our four plays in weeks back to back. So guys, you have missed Romeo and Juliet and Short Tales. They both closed on the weekend. But this week we have the Amen Corner and we have our very special guest whom we have been plotting to bring here for some time, Lisa Volpe. And Lisa is doing a one-woman show called Shakespeare and the Alchemy of Gender. And I really want to focus our discussion today on that show. We are partnering with the NAGB to host it. It's being hosted both in the Black Box, which people may know is a very small space, and at Fiona's Theater, which is more spacious. So I really want to push the Thursday night performance of Lisa Volpe's show to ask people to come on out, support the NAGB, support Shakespeare, and come to Fiona's Theater, 8 p.m. Thursday night.
And Fiona's Theater is the outdoor theater in the National Art Gallery compound.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's our open air theater. We have lots of concerts there and plays. We're happy to host Shakespeare in Paradise. We're looking forward to the performance on Thursday, and we encourage everyone to come out. There are going to be lots of concessions. The weather is going to be beautiful. The show is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Absolutely. Okay, so there's a Thursday night performance. Yes. Is that the only performance in this last week of the festival?
No. There are two performances of Shakespeare and the Alchemy of Gender. I'm really pushing the Thursday night one because that's the one that can accommodate the most people. Mm-hmm. And because it is such a lovely spot. Mm-hmm. And our show in the Black Box is already gaining traction. So don't come to the Black Box. Go to NAGB.
Absolutely. Right. All right. So Tuesday night, what time does the show start at the Black Box?
All our shows start at 8 p.m. And fellow Bahamians, that means 8 p.m. It doesn't mean doors open 8 p.m. Show starts 9 p.m. Doors open 7 p.m. Show starts 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And this show is very short. It's 55 minutes. Don't walk in late. You're going to miss it. It's an incredible show. You should be from the beginning and you should be there until the end.
Is this like Murder, She Wrote? If you miss the first 5 minutes, you may not.
Well, it's an intense personal story. It's very vulnerable. I wrote it out of my heart for my father. I do some of the greatest Shakespeare soliloquies ever written from plays that I've actually performed. Mm-hmm. So I'll take a piece of Richard III and three pieces of Hamlet and Shylock. So if you're interested in hearing some of the and female roles as well, Paulina, mm-hmm. Hermione.
Juliet.
You do Lady Macbeth. Like right now in my life. See, when I was in high school, I love Beloved QC, but they couldn't make Shakespeare as real for me in high school as I was able to make it for myself as an adult. And let me tell you, every other day I say, unsex me, ye vile demons, because I need to do some things. I need to do some things, and this womanly nature stopping me, man, from my Chikchani nature. Okay, so I see we have a caller on the line. Caller, I'm going to let you into this conversation because it's exciting. But listen, we're talking Shakespeare, okay? All right, let's go. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. See, that's exactly what happened to me when I sat down for my O-level Macbeth. I forgot everything. I memorized. So, Lisa, I found this review of the show.
Okay.
It says, from cross-gender exploration to the legacy of Auschwitz, Lisa Volpe's internationally triumphant One Woman show confirms Shakespeare's insight into the human condition is as relevant as ever. So earlier you mentioned it's a very personal story, and I imagine that Auschwitz is a part of your personal history?
Yes, my father was a survivor. His whole family died at Auschwitz, and as they were arrested and murdered, he became more and more involved in the resistance. So he went underground with the French underground resistance, and he took on various false identities to get Nazi military secrets, and then he walked across no man's land and gave it to the Canadians, and they let him fight with the Royal Winnipeg Rifles that were known as the Little Black Devils. Mm-hmm. They were a fighting unit from Winnipeg, little farm boys, and my dad spoke five languages fluently. He was born in Berlin, so he could be a double agent. Mm-hmm. And it really was a very violent time.
Yeah,
where there was murder every day in his life. Mm-hmm. And he committed suicide when I was 4. And I started this journey of getting to know him maybe 20 or 30 years ago when I got my my genealogy from the internet, because I was raised Catholic by my grandmother, because both mm-hmm. of my parents committed suicide. And I didn't know that my father's family were rabbis back to the 15th century. I just didn't know. Nobody had told for empathy and compassion, and finding how much fury was in the Jewish community, there was really no place to go where people were calm at the heart. Mm-hmm. And so navigating the female energy and the masculine energy, like I play Juliet and Romeo. Mm-hmm. And when I first started this show, it was 2.5 hours long with no intermission. I was just burning to tell my parents' stories. And then I kind of distilled it to a story about the afterlife. What is my father's soul feeling now? Mm-hmm. And over the last 20 years, his soul and my soul have knitted together. And we have access. So I really believe in the afterlife, and I really love my father. Mm-hmm. And when I do the story, other people who have disappeared, their difficult family members whose stories will not be accepted, other people have opened their minds and hearts a little bit and said, well, I'm going to call my sister, or I'm going to forgive my father, or I'm going to look it away. that's the best that I can do, is try to touch hearts. And also, I think the reason I'm here, why Dr. Bethel brought me here, is because in 2 years, and when it comes out of me, it feels like natural speech. Mm-hmm. It's not difficult for me. I'm not scared of it anymore. Sure, when I started it, it felt very foreign. But I started as a journalist. I was a very good journalist. And then I was very upset about learning about how corporate money controls what you can say. And when I went into the theater, I found a more direct, fluid way to voice my opinions and make work. So for 23 years, starting in 1993, I had an all-female, multicultural Shakespeare company, only 50% white, in Los Angeles. And we ran that for 23 years, featuring black women in the leading roles. And nobody else in the country was doing that. And now it's internationally done. So I feel like I've been a contributor to fairness in terms of casting and equal access to the poetry. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when you're playing Hamlet and you're female and you say, "Frailty, thy name is woman," there's a shimmer. Because they know I'm a woman, but I don't look like a woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of androgynous, so I can be your daughter or your son. Mm-hmm. So that's my story. It just feels like a bandwidth thing where genders and the afterlife needs to be included. You'll see in Shakespeare, almost every line is about the soul. Almost every line is about the afterlife. There's a ghost in almost every play. And not to play those stories, I mean, if you like the dark one, Macbeth, that's nothing but afterlife stuff.
But listen, I was just about to say, I'm now thinking, who in the Ministry of Education or who at Queen's College decided that Macbeth was the play that we were going to read in the Bahamas, right? Because
it blamed the Ministry of Education. It was on the BGCSE syllabus for almost 30 years, 25 years, I think.
Well, I'm so glad that sometimes they don't know what they do.
They don't. They don't know what they're doing right now. Richard III is on it.
Oh.
Or maybe they do know. And maybe we shouldn't share.
Well, because In a matrilinear society where women have had to assume we think of it as, you say, the women had to assume the men's roles when the men went on the contract, right? But women had to assume structural roles outside of the spaces they were normally allowed into. And I keep thinking about Lady Macbeth, right? And like Lady Macbeth said, "Look here, y'all want me to be a woman, but this thing I have to do." She had to go to the heavens. "Look here, these, but they don't understand. Please take this from me so I could do these things that need." Don't mind the things she was doing. That's a different story altogether. She's into some badness back then. But I think about it all the time, right? Like, what is required to survive this plantation life and do what is required to survive in this place? And then, of course, our relationship with the afterlife. You know, the ghosts that we refuse to acknowledge.
While acknowledging them. Yeah, no, I mean, we live in a society where if we were not so connected to the afterlife, funerals would not be so important to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there are a lot of things that we do that we recognize that we, you know, and I mean, it's all through our... You know, nobody says, "I'll see you something, God spare life," right? Like, we are always on the edge of moving on to the next sphere.
But sometimes people are rendered without the tools to fully sort of embrace.
Often we are rendered.
That
without,
cultural space. Because we can see collectively that we have forgotten how to honor the dead. Collectively, we have forgotten how to create space.
Yeah.
Right, for those in the afterlife. And I want to ask you, was my teacher correct that Shakespeare is a tool that could take me through life? Like, Lisa, in your practice, did it take time to find Shakespeare as the mechanism to tell these stories? Or did you always know this is the mechanism I'm going to use?
When I found Shakespeare, I was probably 19 when I went deep diving. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, 50 years of work, I knew immediately that I was going to be fulfilled in that path. I was very smart, straight-A student, had already traveled to Europe, experienced a lot, spoke various languages, and was frustrated with the school system because they were lying to me. You know, like everything they said that was history was a lie, and I'm a researcher and I knew it. And so that always gets me into trouble, you know. I'm smart and I'm pushing it. I'm like, no, that's not what Thanksgiving is. This is when you murdered the indigenous people.
Yeah.
This was not a party. I'm not having it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was 11. So I read a lot. Anyway, the Shakespeare took me into a feeling place so I could come from my heart instead of my angry head.
Okay.
And so it helps to balance me. The stories are in my heart. Mm-hmm. And the rhythm of Shakespeare, ba-dum, 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 is the rhythm of your heart. And I know that now because I've lived through so many roles. I mean, I've played Richard III 4 times. I've played Iago 4 times. I've played Lear. You know, I've played the big roles. And, you know, if you play Hamlet, you have 1,400 lines. If you play Ophelia, you have 60. And the difference in the amount of expression that you're allowed for the female characters. Mm-hmm. Every tragedy has the female characters. If they're ambitious, they have to be murdered or silenced or commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And every comedy, they have to put their dresses back on and get married. But, you know, when you do that with an all-female cast, you find shades of meaning in that. Like when you talk about the power that you need to survive in this world, that which we call masculine, or the directness, which is
assertiveness.
Assertiveness, and women are preferably indirect and painted and
And with the coy and coquettish or
Coquettish, yeah.
Coquettish, yeah.
Exactly. The tendency to go off your voice and talk like a fool and smile when you're not happy and please everybody and never
say... Oh, gentlemen, I didn't realize. Yes. I used to practice that. That's why I can't practice Obey No More, Kermit.
You used to practice that, Eric?
I mean, the police said I can't talk about it, Nicolette. But yes, I used to practice that.
But the power of that Scottish play, that Macbeth you're talking about, you say, I ask heaven for permission. But that was written to say, I ask the devil. So that's why she has to commit suicide off stage, because they're saying ambitious women end badly.
Ah, because they to get the ambition, they have to go to the devil.
And then their heart goes cold and their husbands don't love them and everything goes to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the real story that was written for King James, who was not a lover of women, right? Mm-hmm. He's a misogynist who was gay.
Let me just say this, man, it's okay. You have permission to not love things you're afraid of. Okay.
That's very, very kind of you, Aaron.
Yeah.
I think that's really generous.
But that doesn't excuse you. You still have to work through your trauma. But you have permission to not love things you're afraid of.
Okay.
That's deep. Yeah, so you have to go around the world. Like, I've been performing the show I'll do tonight and Thursday all over the world, 30 major universities and all the Shakespeare festivals in America and Canada and Italy and Prague 5 times. Do you know, like, it's just a little poem I wrote about how I'm surviving. But because the Shakespeare in it is at an expert level, it's useful to hear on that level. And then some people find the story understandable, like they get why I'm in trauma about these deaths and the lack of respect for the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the only person in my whole family that's honoring my father. Mm-hmm. The only person. Yeah. And the justification for that is they're Christian and he was a Jew. And it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
And then you see it in world politics as well, and people can't get along.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to find balance in myself, but the world is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great to see people in making theater. Theater means the place where you see God. It's the same root word as theology or therapy. And how you see God is different for each person in each culture and each community. But it does have that divine essence, which is maybe my best part of self, is when I can know that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And then everything else, because I'm a queer woman, is difficult. I come up against hatred every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to imagine that there's some safe place somewhere.
And listen, and reading spaces, reading life is just like Shakespeare, right? Like, for those who are not doing a deeper reading, you have no idea why we have these looks on our faces. You don't see the violence, the subtlety of it in between the lines, the unspoken words in the play, the omissions, right? The misplaced cues. You know you're in a play, and I know you know what your cue is, and did you refuse to acknowledge it?
Or did you just not give it to me?
Right?
Did you take it from me? Yeah.
Right. So, but who told you all that Shakespeare? Because I just didn't believe it. When I was in high school, you could not convince me that Shakespeare could be a tool that I could use as an advocate, right? I couldn't imagine that I could take this thing out of that traditional classroom space and make it something more than it appeared to be, which is why I want to, like, sort of speak to this space and right now, even though I only taught computer science for one semester, so I'm not actually a teacher. But Shakespeare and the alchemy of gender is not what we were allowed to do in school, which was you have to read these words just as they are on the page, right? And then, so that was the first experience. And then you go to a play now. So I think it may have been Macbeth at COB, may have been the first Shakespeare that I saw. And so we go to this play, and I see
Gordon
Mills, and so it's the first time I see a different setting. So it's the same language, right? But it's a completely modern Bahamian framing of it.
Was that Merchant? That was the one that we did when we did Merchant set in the Bahamas with Shylock as a Haitian.
Yeah, Merchant of Venice.
No, I don't think so.
You're
talking about this is before Shakespeare in Paradise.
Yes. Yeah, well before
She's
Shakespeare.
Talking about Macbeth.
Yeah.
It was in the auditorium at COB, Burroughs.
Oh, you mean our Macbeth?
Yeah, I think so.
Gordon. Yes, that's right. Gordon.
Years ago.
Yes.
And so, right, so the initial,
yes,
why this
that's
language.
Right. Yeah. That's right. That's
but
right.
Then
that's
to
that was our Macbeth.
Yes. Yeah,
this is the one that we did. This is the one that we adapted and did in Prague last summer.
Oh.
This was the first time that we went. Yes, that was it. In UB, in
COB.
COB Auditorium, JJS Auditorium, yeah.
And then, so now, to see this title, Shakespeare, The Alchemy of Gender, like, you've blown my mind. You've given me the permission that I already knew I had. I just don't like to row teachers. It's Shakespeare 2.0. You're not just doing a Shakespeare play in your own framing, but you are taking Shakespeare characters and imagining the parts of them that were erased in the original Shakespeare stories.
Yeah, my story's like a quilt. You know, it's got your baby pajamas in this corner, it's handkerchief, and, you know, just pieces of text that were, if you know, it's like a rock in a stream that I remember. That's where I had to get a navigational skill with my kayaking. I have to, this is happening, do something, you know? Mm-hmm. And so those are the moments where I became stronger and stepped up.
We know about that. When you sail in, you get to know how to tack the boat. You got to know how to catch the wind and make the turn and control the wind, right? And many of us, those are the spaces within which we discover more of ourselves and we grow. Now, ladies, we go into a break. When we get back from the break, I've got some more questions. What has been your most interesting experience of Shakespeare outside of your own performance? And which of the characters that you play are your favorites to play? Listen, we're going to a break. I want you to imagine the shine in all of you. See, all our every day, our lives, right, are not just entertainment, but we're living our lives as dynamically as these characters on stage. And we need to create space for each other to acknowledge it, to see it, and to allow people to bloom in it. We're going to a break. We come in right back. Stay tuned. On the Clock with Erin Green.
All I know is I'm glad you're mine, and my feelings can't hide. I can't sit down, and I'm spinning round, honey. Oh, look what you do to me. Look what you do.
Your solution for rising gas prices and expensive car maintenance has landed. Brand new 2026 electric vehicles from BYD have arrived at Easy Car Sales. Imagine no more gas and major savings on maintenance. Test drive a BYD EV today and save thousands with the car that redefines driving. Visit easy242.com for our 3 locations, in-house financing, and more. Easy Car Sales, the only authorized BYD dealer and warranty provider in the Bahamas.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
RM Bailey, 85 Pacers, where you at?
It's all about the Stay Code, the Saturday, October 11th, from 12 midday to 5 p.m.
R.M. Bailey Park. Our very own Canterbury Clean Steak off the Grill, Chicken off the Grill, Mouth-watering Fried Fish. Tickets are only $20. In the starter corner, Conky Conk Fritters, Chicken Wings, and Cheesy Macaroni. In the dessert corner, Pound Cake, Delicious Chocolate Cake, and Carrot Cake, all on sale. Get tickets for the entire family. Our proceeds will aid classmates' medical funds and rehabilitative care. Music by DJ Marcy. Don't meet me there. Meet me there on October 11th at 12 midday to 5 p.m. R.M. Bailey Park, Class of 85 Staker.
I will always help him out. If my brother's in trouble, I will turn the world around. I will fight for his life.
It's the glitziest night in agriculture, where roots run deep and the spotlight shines bright. The Agrarian Awards 2025 takes center stage on Saturday, October 18th at the Atlantis Paradise Island Grand Ballroom. And you need to be there. Presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources and the Agricultural Development Organization. Get your tickets now at adobahamas.org or call 397-7400 for more information. The Agrarian Awards 2025, planting with heart and soil.
In uncertain times, resilience is everything. That's why CFAL is inviting you to the financial services event of the year, the 2025 CFAL Pension and Economic Conference. It all happens Thursday, October 16th at 8 a.m. at the Grand Hyatt Bahamar Convention Center. Under the theme, Resilience in the Face of Global Uncertainty, this half-day conference is your chance to gain powerful insights on navigating today's shifting global economy. This is the premier networking and knowledge-sharing event of the year, and you cannot afford to miss it. So secure your spot today at www.cfal.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Titanic was the largest ship afloat, over 2,000 souls on that boat. Singing and dancing and having a good time, except one black man they all call Shine. But he didn't mind, though he was no fool. When they hit the iceberg, he played it cool.
Woy, 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 here come a team. Woy, 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 perils of the sea. 2:30 a.m. on that fateful morn, 1912, the Titanic went down.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I was introducing Lisa Volpe just now to Shine, right? Now, y'all know about Shine from Shine and the Titanic, but what I was supposed to tell y'all is, y'all know my great-grandfather was a Chicktani catcher, right? Anyway, I found out recently that he used to work with Shine. So I am very, very excited. Dr. Nicolette Bethel, don't look at me while I'm making myths, man. Don't look at me while I'm making myths.
I'm an anthropologist.
You have to check. You have to confirm. Anyway, I want to start. I have a text here, and it says, what happens in the afterlife? Texter, if I tell you, you wouldn't believe me. If I tell you, you wouldn't believe me, so why waste that time right now? Ladies, before we get into the show, I got a little special thing I have to do. There's a listener out there. Her name is Mrs. M. Burrows, and she's a fan favorite, right? She's a fan of the Guardian platform across the board. Anyway, Ms. Burrows is also a generous community member. Ms. Burrows put some money in my hand, and she said, do something special with it, you know? And I thought, I got something very special to do. And let me tell you why. Every Friday night, well, last Friday night, and this Friday, coming Friday the 10th, after the performances at Shakespeare in Paradise, there's an event called the Festival Bar. So for festival goers and for the general public, there is a set of live performances that takes place right after the plays. It is a beautiful setup in the front of the grounds of the Guardian, and it's sitting under an almond tree and another beautiful tree that may be a strawberry guava. I'm sure I gotta check it out.
Or it may be a fig.
It may be a fig. Anyway, it's sitting on the northern boundary of the property, right next to the Ranfurly Home for Children, right? So Mrs. Bride, we're gonna do something special with this $50. We giving it to the Rand Philly Home for Children. See, because I be jealous. I was jealous when I was in the house and my neighbors was having party and I couldn't go out to the party, right? I enjoyed the music and I said, thank you for playing it loud enough for me to hear. Neighbors, that's what we do for each other. But I want to put, we're going to put this $50 in the hands of the Rand Philly Home and say, hey, on Friday the 10th, while we having our little festival bar extravaganza at the Dundas, whether it is rent a projector and put on a movie, get some pizza or some snacks, something fun. Mm,
good.
Right? Great. Something for great. Everybody.
Yeah.
Because most times we tell little children, you in need. So whenever you get a donation, you have to put it towards the basics. But this is something for that need for recreation, that need for imagination, for playtime, right? That's also equally important. And that's why all of our conversations about Shakespeare are important, because when you're in school doing Shakespeare, there's no time for play. Mm-hmm. But Shakespeare's work creates an environment for you, the listener, his audiobook, you, the audience, to play, to imagine, to reimagine these characters, right? What was Lady Macbeth saying to herself in the corridor while she was eavesdropping these by them with their dastardly plans, right? It helps us to remember the power of imagination and play. So Lisa, what is your favorite character to play?
I like to play the villains. I like to humanize the villains. I'm really good at that. You know, when mm-hmm. they say Iago is a motiveless villain, he slept with my wife. Mm. He took my job. He overlooked my service taking bullets for him. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's a terrible racist.
Yeah.
So I have a brother who's black. My family is mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And so by playing a white racist, I had a fury in me. Mm-hmm. And I knew, and I was directing myself. So, mm-hmm. you know, I directed myself. The first five monologues, you're charming the audience. Then they begin mm-hmm. to hate you.
Uh-huh.
Then they look at you and go, I don't want to hear another word out of your mouth. Somebody mm-hmm. kill that man. You know,
that's why political careers should be short. I just, sorry, that was an aside. Would you all call that on stage? That was an aside.
Yeah.
To the audience member in the back.
On the side.
Yeah.
So that's what I like. I like, look at the story though. See where this person's coming from. Look at his point of view. From mm-hmm. where he's sitting, he can't see what you're seeing. He's mm-hmm. in a different part of the planet. Do you know?
Yeah.
In his mind. And the labyrinth of the mind thing is really interesting to me. So Othello. I'm really good at Iago, and then Richard III, I killed it last summer. I played 10 years old. I mm-hmm. killed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's tiring. It's sword fights and murdering your wife and murdering the children and murdering your enemies. And mm-hmm.
before lunch break, you know, it's tiring.
On a lovely summer evening
mm-hmm.
and every night. But the thing is, you know, when you talk about the power that you access when you're on purpose and you're not deflecting because of femininity issues,
yeah,
that's the power that you get when you dominate Richard III. And you're like, I can play this. I may be 5'3", but I'm really good at language and I know what he's thinking and feeling. And watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat, you know, and mm-hmm. surprise people. Like I played Shylock at the Oregon Utah Shakespeare Festival.
Okay.
I was the first woman to ever play a leading role.
In Utah?
As a villain in that powerful thing. They've had women play the lovers, the wife, the girlfriend, the whore, mm-hmm. but they never had a woman play Shylock.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people there that didn't want me there because I'm queer, because I'm an activist, and that's a very white Mormon area, mm-hmm. and very, very religious, and they really don't. Mm-hmm. They laugh at Shylock when they snatch his yarmulke off. Mm-hmm. The last guy who played it, Jim Edmondson, rest his soul, he came to me at opening night. He said, you know, when I played this 20 years ago and I heard them laughing at the yarmulke being snatched off my head, I went backstage and I wouldn't come out for the curtain call on opening night. I threw up.
Mm-hmm.
So my challenge was, they know the play by heart, but they have no sympathy for the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to go, look, they killed Shylock's wife. They stole his daughter, all of his money. They shamed him. They lied to him. And he had a legal document. He loaned this Christian man mm-hmm. his money to try to mm-hmm. build some kind of alliance, and they just stole it and refused to pay him back. Mm-hmm. And the law wouldn't protect him. And the law was cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And the leading lady is not a nice woman. Portia's vicious against him. So to stand up against all those beautiful people with all that Shakespearean talent in a 900-seat outdoor theater where everybody knows the play by heart and they see Shakespeare every day,
mm-hmm.
and bring this other reality. It's like, watch me unpack this character. I'd go off stage. And the men in the audience would say, you didn't play that. That wasn't you. Mm-hmm. That was a man. I saw a man play it. And their wives would say, that was Lisa, honey. Yeah. Stop. And they go, no, I saw it.
Yeah.
It wasn't you.
I want to say, I just want to say, I saw this show in June, July.
Anyway. Oh, my solo show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that of all of the monologues that you delivered, the Shylock just blew me away. It was just so beautiful.
Thank you. You know, from the moment you started talking about your father's story, the capacity of this space to display, to practice, to expose empathy as Black people and people of African descent, making a distinction, mutable and ancestry, which is immutable, finding many Bahamians cling to Blackness, refuse to acknowledge an African ancestry, right? And then you realize that because of an absence of language, of knowledge, of connection. No, I don't know if I'm Nigerian or Senegalese. I don't know if I'm from Mali or South Africa, but I know that I'm Black, right? And but if you sit in that experience and if you try to find a comfort so that you could relate to those people, especially you say, I know I'm African. How could you not know you're African? And then you will realize that in a similar way, people of European descent with no connection to their ancestry also cling to whiteness. They're also having a similar experience. And while contemporarily in the modern day, it is obvious there's a white supremacist imbalance, but if we sit with that, then we'll understand that white people have also been stripped of their European ancestry. Right? That people who identify don't know if they are Polish. They don't know where their roots are from also. Right? And so the empathy that we can experience in this place called Shakespeare, the world that is created on the stage, right? But can only be created by actors that step in to these roles. With intention.
Yeah, that's the quest. You know, mm-hmm. You find the question based on the role that you pick. I mean, when you're young, you're just like, I'll take any job. I'll be in a commercial, anything mm-hmm. to make me feel like I didn't waste this chance to be successful in life. Give me any job. Yeah. And as you become older, you know, I was good at certain things. I played the women early in my life. I was married at 18. I had a husband. I was playing the miniskirts. We did a million-dollar feature. I played a go-go dancer mm-hmm. to the Florence Film Festival. And I decided, this is not me. I'm on the wrong path. This is not going to come to fruition. But the Shakespeare stuff really does come to fruition. And that thing about the kids next door who want to play,
yeah,
that was my life. Do you know, I didn't have anything. We washed our clothes on a washboard with a bar of soap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have anything. And then my rich grandmother kind of rescued us from chaos in the Canary Islands where we were surviving.
And so just for a moment, I know that there are young Black Bahamians of African descent who... Like, have no... What do you mean that there are white people alive today that had to scrub their clothes on a scrub board? Like, my Grammy or my great-grammy used to tell me, child, my whole life, all I know is scrub board, and you want empathy, you know?
You can just look at me and say, you have a house and a car. No, I'm an artist. I'm not paid what I'm worth. Mm-hmm. I'm never respected to the level of my expertise.
Yeah.
I've worked for 50 years, and every day I get disrespect. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
I don't actually do it for the money. I don't have a lot of money. My partner has a lot of money. She does real estate.
But yeah.
We have independent lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that I've been remunerated for the 17-hour days I've done for 50 years isn't fair.
Yeah.
And I've grown up with nothing, and I've grown up with a lot of things. And I know friends on Broadway and movie stars like Kevin Spacey and Whoopi Goldberg. Those are my friends that I grew up with, and I watched them turn darker, you know, inside. I'm not talking about skin tone.
It's
a corrupt industry, and honesty is not necessarily rewarded, and people are being very... I mean, you see Jimmy Kimmel being thrown off the air in our country.
Yeah.
Right now, we're under absolute tyranny, and it's crashing all the systems. I'm supposed to fly home on Saturday. Now I can't. I have to fly to Canada because the air controllers aren't coming, and the airport's unsafe. So I have to relocate my whole life because of the current Nazi takeover of the United States.
We're very concerned as our cousins to the north try to regain balance. And in the same vein, practicing empathy, right?
Do you mean Canadians?
No, I meant the other cousins. Oh. Your cousins too.
Our cousins.
Your actual cousins. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure what you meant.
No, we mean
Northern
Americans,
Ireland.
Americans, you guys.
Oh, the Americans.
Yeah, yeah. Geographic cousins.
Yeah. I see. Yeah,
and cultural cousins. Yeah. As well. You know, the geography. Geography supersedes politics in the same way. Like as an advocate, I used to principles. You know, principles are most important. But then I realized that no, people always are more important than principles. Mm.
So you have this connection with Florida because you have communities there. Yeah. And
not just that, because we helped to build.
And we helped to build Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, we helped to build Miami, South Florida. Yeah. We helped to build what is R&B and contemporary music in the United States of America, from Frederick McQueen and Joseph Spence to the unnamed enslaved practitioners of old African traditions before the first recordings of Bahamian voices in Florida. Right?
That's deep and beautiful and worth living for. That's great.
Yeah. To the era of funk evolving into hip hop, and not just Bahamians, Caribbean voices and experiences have built the cultural expression, modern cultural expression of the United States of America. Empathy to be able to imagine that space includes us. You know, but such a powerful, I'm just saying your work is so powerful. I haven't seen it yet, but while your sister's selling real estate, you are creating new worlds in people's minds, including mine. And that's fabulous. Now, I don't want to leave the other plays and actors out. So for Shakespeare in Paradise, we have the Amen Corner is up next.
It opened last night. This is James Baldwin's autobiographical story, really. His mother was I don't want to say a preacher, she was a religious leader.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a religious leader who has a son. Her son makes a choice, and it's her story. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give away the story.
But it's an incredible musical, right?
It is.
Oh, it's a musical as well.
Well, it's we have made it into a musical because there's a congregation, right? And they say,
you gotta have
singing.
Yeah.
And so the music is going to be really powerful. The performances are powerful. The story is amazing. I think there's Baldwin's works, and this is one of his stronger ones. And it's been a while since we did it in the Bahamas.
All right.
Yeah.
When was the last time y'all did it?
1994.
Okay. All right. I wasn't even sensible then. It was my fault. I wasn't sensible then. Okay. So the Amen Corner.
Every night, 8 p.m., except for Tuesday night. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., that's tonight, is Shakespeare and the Alchemy of Gender in the Black Box. On Thursday night, the Amen Corner plays in the Black Box, and Shakespeare and the Alchemy of Gender plays at Fiona's Theater at the NAGB.
Okay, now, let's go through the list of plays for Short Tales. I know it's over.
But just to shout out
the
office. Okay,
because as a part of the Black Box open mic team and improv team, I've been interacting with these young people, and I've been, like a Grammy, because I'm in my Grammy era now, encouraging them. No, I love it. Nicolette, as soon as I get
I am my great Grammy parody.
You have a moo-moo?
not the moment.
Well, then you ain't
reached. I resist.
No, Nicolette, you got to get a moo-moo. Let me tell you something.
Erin is a little child to me.
Okay, so here are the 10 plays that were featured at Short Tales this year. The Wake. Yes. Jasmine Anderson is the director or writer?
That's the writer.
Okay. Pearls, J. Ben Hepburn and Patrice Francis.
The writers, yeah.
What's that about?
That's about a mother who is making a choice to go and change her life and how her daughters react.
Okay. I got you. The Power of the Pearls. Remembrance, Ali Costa, Die Empty, Patrice Francis, Divorce Papers and Dira Green. Sorry I missed that, because I still have to find out if that's like what Bumpy Watkins call a marriage license. Color-coded by Michaela Kerr. Curtain Call by Hakeeb and Nandalal.
Trinidadian.
Okay, yes. Cool. Mother's Dearest, Tyler Newbold Chisholm.
Yep.
The Fly, Valicia Roll and Bradley Worrell. And The Witnesses, Dion Sims.
Yes.
Wow, this is awesome. Anyway, I just have to send a special shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Roll. Obviously, y'all have a Roll garden, and y'all keep producing these wonderful flowers. Valine Roll, Valicia Roll, and the younger sister, there's another sister in
Valia.
There. Valia Roll. I just don't know what y'all sprinkling in that Roll garden community project.
Yeah.
Show your neighbors how to grow flowers like that, please. Because those three young ladies.
They are.
Super talented
they
with
are.
Valine
they
having
are.
Directed Ghost of Gombe. Now, Maylin, as we close out the show, QC Comets, just give us a word. When's the next Alumni Association get together? What we doing?
I know what we're doing.
Okay.
But I tell y'all, you can find out.
Okay.
Go to Facebook, follow Queens College Alumni Bahamas. We are on there. You can register for our WhatsApp community. So we have a community with all of the years. Join your year.
What?
Join another year. Yeah, we send all the news out. We send
well, 1992, I hope you all have a whole group in your layout. That's your business. I can pretend like I didn't change my number and I still mad at y'all.
I can add you.
Right, thank you, ma'am. Anyway, Lisa Volpe, Dr. Nicolette Bethel, Maylin, my QC cousin. It's been a pleasure this morning having you guys
thank
in
you
studio.
So much,
thank you.
Now, Kermit, give me 3 seconds. I want you all to know I haven't forgotten about these articles here. Crown seeks up to 30 years for deacon convicted of attempted incest. Brother sentenced to 7 years for raping sister. Prosecutor asks for 5-year maximum for man who forced children to have sex. And 2 counts of indecent assault. I forget. We just was having a different conversation this morning. You guys stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Oh, and Mrs. M. Burrows, thank you very, very much. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.